Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on Star Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Hello.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Oh, fuck, I've fucked it. I fucked it so bad. Hello, welcome to Pulse of the Nation. Oh, my God. I got thrown because I've got my sound desk here. I accidentally triggered Wagner singing Love Chat. But it sort of fitted with the bed anyway, so I'm like, oh, that's fine, I can pull it off. But then I spoke over the man doing my introduction. Hello, welcome to professional radio show, Pulse of the Nation, with professional radio DJ Andrew White. Normally it's much more organised than this. This is another week of weird headlines, of sort of big headlines, of wonderful guests. I've got the brilliant Amelia Hamilton co-hosting with me today. Later on we'll have the wonderful Michael Odewale in the studio. It's a jam-packed show. Let's get into it. Let's have a look at what's been going on in the news. Of course, it is still absolutely boiling. And this is going to sound offensive. I'm sorry if you've been struggling this week. But actually, I was on the train up today. The AC was too cold. It was too cold. And my shirt is not best fitting. So I had my love handles were sort of hanging out a little bit. They were freezing. Icy cold. So maybe the tide is turning. Maybe the heat is disappearing. There's certainly been a lot of rainfall recently. But that has not been the main news. The weather has sort of taken a backseat to an interesting summer of gimp dads. I think that's the best way I can describe it. Three big gimp dads. Of course, we've got the Coldplay CEO. I think that what better way to describe him than as a gimp. He's absolutely fucked it. His wife came out with a stunning statement. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but she has absolutely nailed her PR there. She has come away from this as a legend, a hero on the internet. But Andy Byron has indeed lost his job and lost his respectability, and not just for going to see Coldplay live. So yes, that's gimp dad number one. Gimp dad number two is they're sort of actually similar realms. This caught my eye in the metro is a man named Chris Napthine. There he is there. He was he has complained that the school is too woke because he turned up to pick up his child from year two dressed in a gorilla suit. Now, I say gimp because not only is he gimpy in nature, but also this is a terrifying gorilla suit. I'm just going to show this to my co-host Amelia. It is like a gimp suit. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? That is. Oh, I wish you could see Amelia's face right now. Actually, I'm just going to fade your mic up here for this live reaction. It's.
I think it's the skin that you can see in between the head and the body that is really throwing me, and that kid doesn't look thrilled to be held. He's got no hat. It's terrifying. It's angry.
It is angry. It's a very angry ape costume. And so basically, what happened was he turned up to pick up his daughter dressed as an ape at school, and he got apparently a snotty message saying, "Please do not come into school in a costume or mask. This is a serious safeguarding issue. It's also upset some of the children and caused concern for others." Well, it's upset us here in the studio and caused a lot of concern. So that is reliable. And he said that that the school is being woke. How is it a safeguarding issue? Well, mate, because one day a random stranger will turn up in a gorilla outfit and steal your child. Think with your fucking brain. So yes, year two. What age is year two as well? Is that
year two? Is it eight?
Eight. Yeah.
Seven and eight.
Six, seven. An auction on Epstein Island. Jesus. also in the news, but we don't have time for that today. 6'7", that's terrifying. If I was 6 or 7 and I saw this man turn up.
Yeah.
You're right, the hint of skin is, if it was just a full gorilla outfit.
Then maybe you could buy it. Maybe you feel like, oh, it could be a gorilla.
It's cosplay, it's Disney.
Whatever, but it's like, oh,
it's
no,
reminding
I'm
you there's
a
man under there. Yeah, there's a man under there. So yeah, he's literally sort of quite gimpy in his outfit, but also a gimp in like complaining that his school was woke, and also like, why would you go to the news with this? Like, who gives a shit? They didn't reprimand you. They didn't fine you. They just said like, please don't turn up in a gimp suit to the school gates.
Yeah, but can I also say I love that after we had Brat Summer last year, the idea that Gimp Dad Summer
we're
might
in the
be
Gimp
this
Dad
year,
Summer. Yeah, yeah, this
I
is it.
I am thrilled about it. I have another gimp dad to add to the list, but after you finish your...
I wonder whether it's the same gimp dad.
It's not, because it's on Fleet Local News Facebook page.
Amazing. I cannot wait for that. Facebook pages are well in the purview of Pulse the Nation. My final gimp dad was the dad who sent his child to school in the Union Jack dress. The Spice Girls thing. Yeah,
God,
Because it was like a culture day, and the one rule was just don't wear flags, you know. And he sent his child in a Union Jack dress, and they were like, no, the rule was flags, can you change? And she didn't want to change, so they sent her home. And he was like, it's British culture being denied, and this child, she's written a speech. I read the speech. She's definitely written the speech. He's written the speech.
Yeah.
Because it's just a speech. Is like, it's the perfect sort of posing to be like liberal and accepting. Because it's like, oh no, multiculturalism's great and I love curry, but why is Britain so degraded? What's wrong with being white? And it's like, no 12-year-old child has written this. I mean, it's written like a 12-year-old child, but that's just because I think that's his mental age, this dad.
And also, you know, fun fact, you can't call it a Union Jack unless it's flown at sea.
That's good. Well, yes.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's a Union flag.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this here. Maybe it's controversial for a 12-year-old girl. Send her to sea.
Throw her in the sea.
Bin her in the sea. Absolutely don't want to see it. But just also, like, what a lame, pathetic excuse. Oh, the speech is like, what about great British culture? Like, queens and kings and knights and fish and chips. It's like, come on.
We have no culture.
We do, but it's not that.
Is our culture?
Farmers markets and blackface ribbon dancing. All the fun stuff.
Yeah.
All the fun stuff.
It's not great, is it? We probably should try and make some kind of culture. I don't think I'm hugely proud to be British, but maybe that's the culture that we're kind of ashamed.
Shame, yeah.
That is a culture.
But also, I think that our culture is multiculturalism, you know?
Yeah.
Like obviously, the horrors of colonialism are not something to be proud of, but the sort of, like, aftermath that all these people fell in love with, well, lots of oppression and sort of Stockholm syndrome going on, but you know, those people that came to Britain, especially in the 50s and 60s, the Windrush generation, they really liked the idea of Britain, these ideals that were told to them. I mean, ultimately they were sort of lies and propaganda, but they actually, if you talk about British values, the immigrants that came in, especially in the 50s and 60s, they've got better British values than any British person, because they're living to an ideal that was lied to them about. So there is British culture, and I think it is multiculturalism, really.
Yeah.
And there's some fun, you know, like castles and Tudors, and
sure.
That's the thing. Turn up in a Tudor, just turn up in a King's
Guard
outfit.
We're old. We have got age on our side.
We've got loads of stuff to choose from.
Lots of other countries aren't quite as old as us.
Yeah.
We're real old. Like, you go to America, all the buildings are like 300, 400 years old. We've got like thousands of years old buildings.
There's a pub
dress up as Windsor Castle.
There's so many things to choose from, and I just think, like, if you're reaching for, like, oh, what's our culture, and the only thing you can think of is the British flag, it's like, that's not really a culture.
It's not very imaginative.
A, it's pathetic. You're really misrepresenting British culture. B, it was the one thing they said don't do. Don't go in a flag.
I hate parents like that at schools who just do not. My sister's a primary school teacher, and just like hearing some of those stories is absolutely mad. The terrible, terrible humans.
Yeah, the worst, the absolute
worst.
And
their kids are awful.
Yeah, their kids will always be
so bad.
And you just hope, because like under 13, they're very, very impressionable.
Yeah.
And they're just repeating whatever their parents have said. You hope that when they get to like their teenage years, they have a bit of a rebellious streak, start some empathy, start some sort of critical thinking, and just like break away from it. Because that's another thing in the news, votes at 16.
That's exciting, isn't it? I remember studying that politics at A level about whether should you or shouldn't you let 16-year-olds have the vote. It's going to be interesting. I mean, hopefully it will make it more left-leaning, but
it definitely will. Well, actually, 20% of 16 to 18 year olds would vote Reform, so
that's what I'm worried. I'm worried about the alt-right pipeline and getting them while they're young, and the whole impact of adolescence that
sort of era.
I'm hopeful.
I'm hopeful as well. I think they will be largely, the 16 to 18 year olds are more left leaning. Maybe their vote will be split a bit between Green, Labour, and this new Zara Sultana, Jeremy Corbyn party. There might be a bit of a split in terms of that, but they are definitely more left leaning. And also, I think 16 to
18-year-olds, especially when you're coming up to your first election, that's when you're the most politically engaged. That's when you read the most things, you go to the hustings, you actually care because it's your first vote and it's exciting. These gimp dads aren't politically engaged.
No.
He just wants to be sort of veiledly racist.
He wants people to look at him.
Yeah.
And say, well done, you're right.
I've not heard a single good argument against votes for 16. Because when they're like, oh, well, you can't get married, you can't have a gun, you can't drink alcohol, who cares? That's none of those things are relevant to voting. Or they say, like, oh, 16-year-olds haven't had life experience, or they're, like, not politically engaged. It's like, well, so many people aren't anyway. There are privileged people that have lived their whole life with no real life experience. Half our fucking politicians don't have real life experience. More than half the country aren't politically engaged. And if it's an intelligence thing, I mean, look at these gimp dads.
Look at the gimp dads, yeah.
Christ, well, somebody think of the gimp dads. They're allowed to vote.
Yeah, I mean, there's some dumb people who can vote, so...
Yeah, I think there's no single argument that doesn't also discount over 18-year-olds as well. If it's like apathy, intelligence, life experience, whatever it is, that applies to swathes of the voting age population already.
Yeah, and hopefully it will mean the policies will target young people more as well, and which would be a great thing. One of my songs that I know off by heart is the Nick Clegg I'm Sorry song from when, do you remember, he made a promise before the election that we would vote against any rise of fees, we would vote against any rise of fees, it was a pledge made with the best of intentions, but we shouldn't have made a promise we can't absolutely sure we can deliver on, and goes, I'm sorry, and so he had to do that because he annoyed some young people, so maybe there'll be some more.
He screwed up the Lib Dems for 10-15 years. They're only just recovering, really. Yeah.
Thanks to Ed Davey and the slides and his abseiling and all sorts of escapades.
What didn't he do?
What didn't that man do?
That man, I think somebody in his office just went out and bulk bought about 20 Red Letter Days.
Yeah.
That was it. It was like, go see what you can
Virgin
do.
Virgin Experience, all of those stuff.
All right, Ed, it's, you're zorbing in Lincolnshire today. And I'm like, fine, whatever the trail requires of me. Anyway, this has been a nice sort of monologue because I've transitioned it into not a monologue.
Oh, yes, you've done very well. Look at that segue. You just slid right in there.
Well, I greatly... You had things to say, and I valued your
input. Do you want
me
to tell you about the extra gimp dad?
Oh, yes, sorry, yes. Oh, my God.
Before we move on.
Of course.
Just
let's
in case
forget.
Anybody was on tenterhooks.
Gimp
on the
dad summer, please. Hashtag gimp dad summer. Get that spread around. Tell me about your gimp dad.
Adding to the gimp dad, Robert from Fleet. So, my mum...
Full name, go on. Robert from Fleet.
What I don't know is full name.
No, that's his full name, Robert from Fleet.
That's his full name. Fuck you, Robert from Fleet. So, my mum was going for a walk with the dog and two young boys on a bike cycled up to her and go, oh, we think you've lost your card. Is this your card? And she goes, oh, no, it's not my card. It's someone else's card. And they go, well, what do we do? I don't know what to do with it. And she's like, give it to me. I'll go home and I will cancel it. I'll cancel the card and I'll post on the local group that that's what I've done so people will know. So she went home, she cancelled the card so no one could pay it. She put on Fleet, what's it called? It's basically the neighbourhood Fleet Facebook group.
Yeah, like a Fleet, uncovered Fleet news, Fleet rants.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it's called. And then she goes, oh, just to let anybody know, we found this card, we've cancelled it. In case if you're worried about it. Robert from Fleet goes, Linda, no one needs this. What am I supposed to do with this information? And goes on a whole long rant about why she's posting like a helpful message. But then this is when you want Karens on your side.
Yeah.
So all of the Karens in Fleet descend.
And there's lots of them.
Oh, that's full of them. That's all there is in Fleet.
That's actually the original, the progenitor Karen came from Fleet.
From Fleet,
Patient Zero.
Exactly.
Just sort of came out of Fleet Pond and
they kind of emerged from the marshes,
I'll come back to Fleet Pond in a minute. Go on, tell me more about the Karens.
Well, the Karens kind of go, well, Robert, it's a very nice thing to do. They could not give Robert enough shit, which was excellent. Gimp dab Robert out the window. He's parent of one of the kids or whatever. Who gives a shit? And he... What do you mean, what are you meant to do with this? What you're meant to do with this is go, oh, that's nice, someone's cancelled the card and I don't like him. And
or just go, this isn't relevant to me. Scroll. Well,
nearly made my mum never post on that group again until all the Karens came back.
God bless them.
God bless those Karens. They are a nightmare sometimes, but when you need them, God, they will report strongly to the manager.
The way that people interact with things online, this sort of like, this isn't relevant to me. It's just like, well, not everything's for you.
Yeah.
Also, like, you don't have this attitude with TV. You're not watching TV seeing a L'Oreal advert going, well, I'm bold. Why am I seeing this?
But I think sometimes they do. And that's why, like, I don't know how many, like, hate comments you've got and stuff.
So many.
But it's always from being like, well, I don't like this. And you're like, great, go find something you do watch. Go watch Little Britain from 20 years ago and, like, fuck off. And so it's people assuming that everything
it's creates
issue. Because also, if you're a white, straight, cis man, it kind of has been for a while. Mm-hmm, so for it to begin to not be for you, I think is, like, offensive. And, oh, my gosh, what am I meant to do with this? But it's Gimp Dad Summer, so get over yourself.
Yeah, it's Gimp Dad Summer. It's the summer of Gimp Dads. If you've got a Gimp Dad story, email in. We actually don't have an email. Just message the show, Pulse_Nation on Instagram.
Or just shout really loudly.
Yeah, yeah, I'll hear it. We'll open the windows here in the studio.
Pigeon carrier.
Pigeon, send a pigeon, just slam it into the window, and we'll know that we'll go and rescue its body and retrieve your message. I was going to say about Fleet Pond.
Yes.
Is it markers itself as the world's or the country's largest freshwater pond.
Oh.
It does. But it is ultimately a shit lake. It's PR. It's a shit lake. And you're trying to be the largest freshwater pond.
It's not a shit lake. It's a good lake, and they've worked hard. There's trails, there's new fences. We've got cows there now. Nearly got hit by one the other day.
Hit by one? Sorry, what?
Yeah, they move up, pun intended. There's like little jetties. There's more benches. Can I just say, I'll do the PR for Fleetport. I didn't know it was the biggest. If you're wanting a big walk, go to... Where should you go? Maybe Minley. It's around the corner.
Minley.
Yeah, it's where the army guys go train, and they just shot a film with Harrison Ford there as well. It's like huge. But Fleet Pond, I will not have you besmirch its good name.
Okay.
You can try, but I... No.
I don't want to be a Gimp Dad. Yes, I've been to Fleet Pond.
Why?
Oh, gigging. I've gigged in the Harlington.
I had
a table of 20 salespeople thrown out of Fleet Harlington on a Christmas gig. And then they all started fighting outside the venue. But as you all know, Fleet Harlington is also a police station. And they all got arrested immediately. And I just had to narrate them being thrown out because they were very violent.
That's a fun story.
And then I had to be escorted to my car as well.
Ooh, so an interesting time you've had in Fleet.
Yes.
That's probably the most interesting thing that's ever happened in Fleet. That nothing else goes on.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to Google Fleet facts.
Okay.
We're going to find something more interesting about Fleet.
This.
I also am very cautious that we have done more PR about Fleet than we have your Edinburgh show, which is why you are here
to promote your
Edinburgh show. So your Edinburgh show is called Forget Me Not. It's at the Pleasance Courtyard from the 30th of July to the 24th of August. Say it with me, except Monday the 11th.
Except Monday the 11th.
Of course. 9:45 every day. Now, we'll talk more about the show after the break, but we're going to send people into the break with one of your raps, because you are, as far as we are aware, the UK's only female rap comedian.
Yeah.
So you've got an album alongside your show. You can't buy the album unless you go to the show. But so this is a bit of an exclusive. Here's a track from Amelia, and we'll send you into the break with this.
Hamilton's throwing any shade here. Where's I? Girls lie, clear the path, my direct sunlight. On your knees, worship me. Rejoice for the birth of your newfound queen. Wanna come for me, huh? Bitch, please, you're higher than my grades be in 2017. Oh, you don't like that? Then say it louder for the crowd at the back. I open my mouth and they cheer and they clap. Clear the shelves, I stack the crack. Chat about me, I watch you desperate to doubt me. You want to whisper about me? Come on through. Your jealousy is tendency on auto-renew. Can't help it, it's true. I stick like glue. So you join the queue and call me Bonnie Blue. She's a breakthrough, and I hate to have this attention, but bitch, I was made to ghost you, then haunt you. I just exist in your dream. But baby, I'm your worst nightmare. I'm so much worse than I seem. Can you keep up? Are you sensing the theme? Welcome, you've just been indoctrinated to my regime. I'm Bonnie and Clyde, then Jacqueline Hyde. Me and make you feel nice since you turned the tide. The system is tested and tried. Baby, I'm an outlier, I'm willing to ride. Living rent-free in your mind. But you can't keep what you find, cause I've not got space and I've not got time. I got one spot on my daily grind. If I'm on your lips, you better kiss that shit. My name running around like Bolt on Felix. He biting Helix, she biting she nicks. Good boy, I throw it down and you bring back the stick. Don't mind me like a quarry, don't mind me, I won't worry. A diamond in the rough, I don't need no polish on me. No one worth his story, you fall like origami. I'm a star, I'm shining, here's Johnny.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We are here with Fleet's biggest advocate, Amelia Hamilton. Hello.
And I've got a pro Fleet fact for you.
Go on then, because previously the most exciting thing happened was me kicking out people in the Fleet Harlington.
Yeah, that is quite exciting.
Have you topped it?
No, but what I can say that apparently Fleet is warmer than the rest of the country, according to Wikipedia.
Why?
Because it's a pocket of just golden heaven, I guess.
A pocket of golden heaven. That on the sign into the town.
Yeah, it says Fleet, a pocket of golden heaven, the best pond. I think pond is better than lake.
But it's not a pond. That's my contention.
Is a lake smaller than a pond?
No, a lake is bigger than a pond. So I think it's a naff lake, but they're trying to present it as like an oversized pond.
Okay, maybe.
No answer
but
to that.
But I will say there's just literally nothing else in Fleet, so you've really got to hold on to what you've got.
Scott Mills Bridge?
It's not really in Fleet, though. I've never actually...
You've never been to Fleet Services?
I was about to say that.
What?
I know. It's because I live there. So to go there, I'd have to leave there, go a bit round the motorway, and then drive immediately in, which I was nearly... Me and my mum found that you can... There's a illegal, sneaky back way that you can kind of tunnel through. And so we were going to do that one day, and then I think we just have something better to do. But I will...
You'll go eventually.
I will go, but you've got to have some things to live for.
Are you worried that if you go to Fleet Services, your life will then be meaningless?
Well, almost, because there's a few things I'm saving. Like, apparently if you go skydiving too early, then everything else in life doesn't live up to that and your adrenaline has peaked, so therefore you can never reach it. Same with hard drugs and tattoos. And so
hard drugs, skydiving, tattoos, Fleet services. Amazing. So you're living with your parents in Fleet at the moment?
I am,
which is on this press release here. Mm. Gorgeous, printed on... Oh, and I was talking about this earlier. I'll probably just bring this up forever now because it's my main topic of conversation. Very thick GSM paper. Have a feel of that. Ooh, that's like cards.
I don't think I did this, but I will take...
No, Kieran printed it.
But well, no, give me credit for it.
So yes, Amelia brought in her own press release.
I brought in my own paper.
It's good, isn't it?
That is lovely.
Yeah.
I like that. What does GSM stand for?
Oh, God, you put me on the spot now. I think it's like grain something something.
I reckon I can get that faster than you.
Go on.
GSM.
You've got grams per square metre. There we go. Grams per square metre.
I've got a global system for mobile communication, so I don't know what is happening to me. Grams per square metre. That's the second one. Yeah.
So how heavy the paper is.
It's pretty hefty.
That is hefty. Have you got your Edinburgh Flyers?
I haven't personally touched them, but I do have they're in Scotland, I think, right
now.
Do you know,
are they cardy or are they glossy?
I don't think they are cardy. The first time I went up, I went super cardy. Mm-hmm. I was about to make a cardy A, cardy B, whatever.
Nice.
Cardy C. Last year I went, no one needs it to be literally a fan because that was the first year, so I went a little bit less. And then this year, I don't think they are. I think they're quite papery because they're cheaper. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
You're already hemorrhaging money.
Enough money.
That's very, very fair. Okay. So I think I'm just going to ask every Edinburgh goer what their paper GSM is.
I've got stickers.
Oh, yeah?
I've got stickers. And do you know what my merch is?
No.
Oh, my God. I love my merch.
I love the resurgence of merch at the Fringe. Tell me, please.
It's my favourite thing. Well, also, it's kind of a vessel for the album. So there'll be CDs, which you can buy, and that will come with a QR code to download the album. And then all the other merch is kind of a vessel for the album because you'll get a QR code for the download as well. But I'm having lighters that say burn the house down, which won't make any sense until you come to the show. I think maybe it's a rap that you've heard before, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. I'm having thongs that say women in STEM, which is my favourite. And then, thongs, lighter, CDs, stickers. And then I think I'm going to have to do a run of corporate merch because I think I've got some... I work in like financy, also tech and AI spaces, and people want to buy stuff, but I can't give them a thong. So I might have to do some caps or something.
Something a bit more, Palace Ball seems unfair, but yeah, something more...
Safe for work.
Yeah, safe for work. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I like that, yeah. Yeah, because you run the podcast at your work, right?
Yeah.
So that's... Is it hard to make... To marry your comedian instinct with a sort of dry business?
I thought you were going to say, is it hard to make it good? And the answer is yes. but I think because it's in a very specific niche and parameter and people who listen to that, unless you're in financial services, do not listen to that. it is, talking about different stuff in that. And it's really good practice for, you're basically emceeing. I mean, maybe you feel the same when you're like hosting this. You're having to constantly be like, okay, what's coming next? Think what shall I ask? Yeah. What's going to really round this off so that, you know, even when you're going into a break, you're kind of coordinating
for a nice
things.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty good. It gives you good skills and also the ability to just, yeah, think quickly, like you need in stand-up.
Great. Yes, yeah. That's good. Well, if you are in financial services, you can check out Amelia's podcast. But whatever industry you're in, you must go check out Amelia's Forget Me Not at the Pleasance Courtyard, 9:45 every day.
9:45.
Except, say it with me, Monday the 11th.
Of Monday.
Monday, 11th of Monday, yes. That is famously the day off that everyone takes at the Fringe. So no show on the 11th. But otherwise, 30th of July to 24th of August, you can catch her every day at the Attic.
And it's so good.
Nah. I was. It is good, and I know it's good because I was saying you can tell from these pool quotes. This is Angela Bond, incredibly funny. Zoe Lyons, very, very funny. Spencer Jones, seek her out like buried treasure. Chris Turner, her show is funny, fast paced, and delivered with passionate and infectious energy. The key word in all of this, and you can tell, and keep an eye out for this for lesser comedians, that pool quotes don't always have the word funny. If you are trying to like be kind to somebody and give them a quote without, you know, really endorsing them, you never say funny. You say, oh, charming, oh, lovely, likeable.
It's like
great energy.
A school teacher writing reports and they go, they're very challenging and curious.
Yes,
student,
exactly.
Instead of being like, they're a little shit and I hated every single second.
Exactly. It's very coded. So the fact that all these amazing comedians have willingly put their name to the word funny, I think that tells you everything you need to know. Amelia is very funny. The show's unique. It's unlike anything at the Fringe, unlike anything I've ever seen before, and you simply must go and see it.
That's so nice. And also go and see Andrew's show because it's very, very, very good. See yours, then see mine, and that's a lovely day.
That is a lovely day, and it is the perfect timing. So I'm 8:35 at Cabaret Voltaire. I'll finish up around 9:30, which gives you a whole 15 minutes to get to the Pleasance Courtyard. That's only a five minute, 10 minute trot at best. You can come straight from me, be in time for Amelia, get a drink, sit down and enjoy the show. So yeah, a perfect double header for any of your evenings between the 30th of July to the 10th of August for me and the 24th of August for Amelia. Now, this is your debut.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Coming up in the studio very soon, we have the wonderful Michael Oluwale. He had a very successful debut, so maybe we can talk to him about his Fringe tips.
All tips, all tricks, any advice. I think there's so much noise when you do your debut as well. It feels like stressful, but I think the main thing I'm trying to do is just enjoy it.
I think that's good advice. And speaking of, is there anything up there that you're very keen to do, anything you're really looking forward to outside of your show?
I have 5 New Year's resolutions and I've only done 3 of them, and there's 2 that need to happen. So my 5 New Year's resolutions was 1 to like dark chocolate, which is on its way. I'll eat it, but I don't love it yet.
Are you working your way up, like 60%, 70%, 80%?
I'm still on like dark chocolate with caramel sea salt to temper it. I'm getting there because I think I would like to be one of those people who likes dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. They seem fancy. The other thing was to crack an egg with one hand, and I can do it, not well, but I can do that now, so that when I have people over, I just be like, poof, poof. The third one was to reduce screen time, which that is very much a work in progress. But the last two, which I haven't done, which is what I need to do this year, is go to a water park and go in a limo. So those are the two
things.
That's
what you're trying to do at the Fringe.
There's a water park in Edinburgh, and whatever
what
happens...
What a terrible place for a water park.
Whatever happens, I've got to finish it in a limo. So I haven't actually looked at what the rates are yet, and so maybe that will be terrible.
Let's have a look. I'll find out for you live on
air. I will be in a limo.
Limo,
and also, there's a Highland coaster, a single rider coaster that goes down the way. And so I'd quite like to do that. I'd like to go to the beach again. I'll do none of these things, probably, but I am going with all the intention to do some of these things.
I think if you go with the intention of doing like 8 or 9 things and then you end up doing 4 or 5, that's great. I think that's all you need, really.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's 1 a week. And then see loads of shows and... Party.
Yes. Yeah, so do you know about Olga Cox karaoke?
No.
I'll tell you all about it after the break. And we have this news article about the ideal karaoke song. Ooh. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes now in a break to think about what you'd sing at karaoke. I'd be interested to know whether you'd do a rap at karaoke, because obviously that is your wheelhouse, that's your speciality, or whether you'd go for more of this scientific formula for what is apparently an ideal karaoke song. We'll talk about that after the break. Michael Odenwiley will hopefully be with us as well. In the meantime, while you've got 3 minutes, go to edfringe.com, book tickets for Amelia Hamilton, Forget-Me-Not, 9:45 at the Attic in the President's Courtyard. By the way, President's Courtyard is pumping this year. There's some fantastic, fantastic shows, good friends of ours. So you can hang around the courtyard all day and cap off your day, 9:45 with Amelia Hamilton. And you can also book tickets for my show, 8:35 at Cabaret Voltaire. Go do that. We'll be back in 3 minutes and we'll see you then.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We are waiting Michael Odenwiley's arrival. He may be caught in some tube traffic.
There was a delay on the Piccadilly line when I came, so
that is good to know.
Severe delay.
Well, yeah. He might be caught in that severe delay, and the Piccadilly line famously doesn't have any signal.
It doesn't. And actually, my journey here was a nightmare because as I left, I headbutted the car door as well.
Oh no!
And I think it's gone down because I put a drink on it, but I'm sure I'm going to have a black eye later.
It doesn't. Slight mark, but there's not like much discoloration or anything.
Right in my eye.
Oh god.
And I think it's because I'm on my period and apparently you're clumsier.
That makes sense.
Spilt my soup yesterday and my tea, and I spilt coffee on my crotch.
That's ideal. Also, how many hot drinks are you having? This weather?
Soup, coffee. Well, I think.
Also, what an amazing time for you to have your like period-induced dyspraxia and be like, you know what? Let me have loads of hot liquids around. That's great. I've got the least hand-eye coordination of any time in the calendar month.
I forget because I think no, I've still got all of my faculties, and then you headbutt car doors, and I was about to say. Have coffee pussy, but I actually
coffee
like to,
pussy.
I'd like to take that back.
No, but you can't. No. This is live. It's out gone there. Out there.
What
yeah,
are you
yes.
gonna do? Yeah. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's beyond my control, and I look forward to about 3 days' time where I won't do anything unfortunate.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Just purposefully unfortunate, not accidentally unfortunate.
Exactly.
You know?
Are you hoping to make mistakes in Edinburgh? Are you going to have a wild party time?
I will have a wild party time,
yeah.
For sure. My rule for the last few years has been no drinking on the first week.
Right.
And I think I will uphold that because you just need to make sure you don't kill yourself too early on.
You need a bit of longevity for the fringe run, especially you're doing the whole month.
I'm doing the whole month. But you're like, all the best people in the whole world are in one place and the bars stay open so late.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not? Let's go part. My fear, I've got one recurring nightmare. I don't know if I've ever told you about this. I've got, one recurring nightmare is that in my dream, I wake up and I have a massive colour Spider-Man tattoo on my thigh, like blue and red Spider-Man tattoo. And I'm like, I can't get it off. What am I going to do? And it's not. And I wake up and I fear it's a premonition. And because I would do something like that for the bit, that I'm terrified that I'll get drunk, especially in Edinburgh. And like I'll have Spider-Man on my thigh.
You know how like people would sort of send their friends like, oh, this is the guy I'm seeing. I'm meeting up with him. I just want you to have the photo for reference in case anything happens. You should make sure all your friends have that photo reference of a tattoo.
Yeah,
and then they can stop you having
no.
doing. Yeah, yeah. They as long as they're pre-warned that is something you might do, they can be on lookout.
Or
for
just
you.
Email every single tattoo place in Edinburgh and say, if a girl comes in and asks for a blue and red Spider-Man tattoo, don't.
This you're taking the same precautions that like gambling addicts have to do, where they have to like bar themselves from casinos.
I just know that drunk me will think that that's a bit of fun.
Maybe that's how you'll end the fringe in a limousine, getting a Spider-Man tattoo.
I can't. Please.
I will. While I'm up there,
please.
Till the 10th of August. That's the only protection I can guarantee.
Okay.
From the 10th of August onwards, you're on your own.
And I will hold you personally responsible.
Damn it.
And. We'll have to do a crowdfunder for the laser removal.
What a horrible expense to add on top of all of Edinburgh. I was going to say, in terms of like staying up late, partying, karaokeing.
Yeah.
Olga Koch has hosted karaoke most years. And this year, it's the 3rd of August, Sunday, 11:20 to 2:20. 3 hours, sign up karaoke. Me and Ted Milligan sang If I Can Dream. by Elvis a couple of years
Ted
ago.
As well.
Ted's great. He's in the court. Oh, pardon me. He's in the courtyard as well.
All of our friends are seemingly at roughly the same time of day, which is annoying because you can't go see them. But amazing, we're all on the same schedule. Yeah. Everybody's like, finish, drink, and so it will
That'll be really nice.
It'll be really nice. Yeah.
And then maybe we can finish and go to some karaoke. Now,
what did you say you sang? Living on a Prayer.
If I Can Dream by Elvis.
What is that? He
only ever performed it once live in response to the shooting of Martin Luther King.
It's a deep cut.
I will say this was around the time of the Baz Luhrmann Elvis film, so it was fresh in both mine and Ted's mind. I am aware Elvis is very problematic for pederastic and racist reasons.
Pederastic sounds like the name of your next Edinburgh show. That's really funky.
Thank you. It's just a fancy word for paedophilic.
Yay!
but I don't know. It feels I didn't want to besmirch. I think he was more of a. I don't. Let's not get into it.
He was an ephebophile, I think.
Yes, but you can't make these distinctions between different types of paedophilia without yourself
looking
sounding
like
a paedophile.
Yeah.
It's not paedophilia if they're over 13. Yeah. So yes, but either way, a little bit. Let's just go. Broad strokes, noncy. Yeah, perfect. Bit noncy. Some race questions.
But
some
sang
cultural
a
appropriation.
Lovely song, and I'm sure you and Ted. I can't think of anything more beautiful.
Well, it would have been beautiful if we weren't upstaged by Nish Kumar's friend, who did a note perfect. Dance perfect routine of Wuthering Heights right before us. That really did sort of undercut our drunken
thunder.
Elvis ballading.
Can I just say,
yeah.
Rule for karaoke, you're not allowed to sing well.
No.
I think anybody who does karaoke and tries to go, this is my time, I'm going to sing this beautifully and you're all going to watch me, I hate them.
Yeah.
I think if there was Room 101 still, they'd go there,
mm-hmm.
gone... You're not here for a good time. We're not at your show. We haven't bought tickets. We're here
for a laugh.
A laugh.
Yep, agreed. I will. Well, Michael Oduwale is here. He's at the gate. So I'm just going to send Kieran down to go get him. Or indeed, is Yasmin going? Thank you, Yasmin. We'll see what Michael would pick as a karaoke song. I agree with your philosophy. It should be a laugh. Now there is this article in the Metro today. There apparently is an ideal. Karaoke formula, which is year of release, beats per minute, number of verses, repetition of choruses. So there's lots of things at play, and apparently that gives everything a specific karaoke score. So for example, I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston has a 90 point out of 100 score.
Ooh, I would posit it loses it's 10% for just repeating the chorus too much at the end. We've got it. Get out of there, Whitney.
Fade out much sooner, I suppose. And the annoying thing is you can't make that decision yourself on stage because there's a track back.
Keeps going.
Yeah, it just keeps going and going. Here's some of the top 10. The number one apparently was Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Don't Look Back in Anger by Oasis. Man, I Feel Like a Woman, Shania Twain.
That's good.
500 Miles, The Proclaimers.
Yeah, great.
Gimme, 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 ABBA.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this, but it's good.
Okay.
Unwritten, Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
That's the top one. Someone Like You by Adele. Bit slow for a karaoke night.
I'd take him off. Yeah. If that was me, you'd fade that out early. Or leave the room and go and get a drink or go to the toilet.
Yeah. You're like, okay, mm-hmm. It's a slow song now. I can leave for a bit.
Yeah.
Wannabe, Spice Girls. And then I don't actually know this one. Let Me Love You by Mario. Hello, Michael Oduwale is in the studio.
Hello.
Welcome. Please join us on mic two. We are just discussing the best karaoke songs. There's a formula for ideal karaoke bangers.
And I would add, in those ones, it's ability for audience to participate too. Like 500 mm-hmm. miles, we're all shouting.
Da, 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 yeah.
Mm. So I think that as well as no ability and the chorus and things stuff that you said before.
So the rules we've established is you can't be good.
You can't be good at it.
No,
but that's I'm fine.
It should be a laugh.
Okay.
You're not a good singer?
He's about to flex.
I think I can hit the vocals. I think I can hit the falsetto.
But I don't sing really badly. But if you came and thought, oh, this is my time to show everybody what a good singer I am.
That's not what it's for.
Yeah.
So I did karaoke the other day for my friend's birthday.
Oh, perfect.
And what song did you sing?
I went for Usher, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
Yeah, I went for that and I did the rap.
Nice.
So I covered both. So I think that's like a dual talent.
That is good,
right
yeah.
There, bit just of, going for two for two.
Yeah. Bit of variety.
I think it was well received. I had them at the start with the yeah yeahs, and then I kind of lost them. Towards
How
the
big
end.
Is the room? Did you go to one of those like booze, Lucky Voice, or did
you
go
like in a
big,
bar?
In a big
we
bar.
We had about 30 in there, and I think I had them for a bit.
Yeah.
But that was my first karaoke experience.
Ever?
I've never done it before.
What?
Wow. What a debut.
Yeah.
Oh my, I can't believe we've hit you at the perfect time.
I know, I just came in late at the right time, though. Do you know what I mean? I'm never late, I'm just on time.
Yeah, exactly where you need to be.
What about you guys? What are we singing?
Well, I was saying that me and Ted Milligan sang If I Can Dream by Elvis a couple of years ago.
Okay.
That was very drunken. I probably wouldn't do that now. I don't know what I'd go for now. Maybe a sort of Young Hearts Run Free by Candy Stanton.
Okay.
Young Hearts Run Free.
Would give that a 6 out of 10.
Okay, I'll take that. What's your go-to?
Well, can I tell you what would be my go-to, but they never seem to have it, is Bonfire by Childish Gambino. And they never seem to have it, and that's my one. I'm ready to go.
You ready to rap?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
That's quite a complex rhyme scheme. You just straight in there.
Yeah.
I kind of want to call on you to give the blast.
Childish Gambino, homegirl, drop it like the Nasdaq. Move white girls like this coke got my ass cracked. Move black girls because man, fuck it, I do either. I love pussy, I love bitches, man. I should be running Peter in Adidas with some short shorts. Be all over me. My green is where it's supposed to be. Your green is in my grocery. I've gone way too fast.
Wow.
This age, and then it goes a bit offensive, so I need to skip a couple of lines. My dick is like, and I'll pick it back up from my dick is like an accent mark. It's all about the over ease. Hot like a parked car. I sound weird like. There's the N-word in there. And so you have to go, mm-mm.
And then you have to go, mm-mm.
Flying like a local on my cousin's 440. Eating Oreos like these white girls that blow me. Vodka for my ladies. Whiskey for a grown man. Do I just do the whole thing?
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I was stunned. I was in there.
I was not expecting that, yeah.
Also, I was worried about what was the swearing. I'm glad that I know now.
You can swear. Yeah.
I'm glad we were straight in. Childish Gambino.
That was it.
That's not a very good advert for my ability to...
Rap, well, no, that's what we've had one of our turn in this one.
We've had my track on, so it's fine.
That's good. You wouldn't even need to look at the board then. You just know that.
I know it.
Yeah.
These are my boys. My top played artist of 2020. What year did we have? Four.
Ludacris. Previous. Really?
Fucking, I cannot get enough of Luda.
So you like that kind of goofy, over the top bars?
Yeah.
So you like Nicki Minaj as well?
Yes. I don't like her stuff as much per se, but when she like guests on some stuff, then I like.
You like those feature verses?
Like when she's on My Chick Bad, isn't she?
Yeah. Okay, so are you just straight Luda?
No, not straight Luda, but while we're on Luda.
You're
Luda for Luda.
Yeah.
I am Ludacris for Ludacris.
He is an underrated rapper, I would say.
Oh my God, have you heard the song Ho? Because the way that man gets the word ho into every single word, reach up in the sky for the ho zone layer. What lyricism?
That's good.
Come on now. Hoes never close, they open like ho ways. Oh my God, lyricism is 10 out of 10.
Yeah. I didn't know how many ho puns you could get.
Oh, listen to he's to ho. Oh,
for inspiration.
Right now, and
we do not have a license to play music.
But after this, go everyone in their own time, go and listen to Ho by Ludacris, and don't tell me that's not one of the best written songs ever.
Wow. So who's your top five?
Artists.
Like rappers.
Eminem would be number one.
Eminem, yep.
Maybe Ludacris would be number two.
I mean, you're so passionate about him.
Surely it has to be number two.
Well, no, the thing is, I listen to rap for like a few different reasons. Well, two reasons. One is either the lyrics and being clever, and like when I'm writing rap, I'll look at the structure and stuff about what they're doing. And then the other one is just because it's a fucking bop and it's like Cali Swag District or something. Yeah. Bitch, I don't need your money. I got my own money and the damn thing funny. Hey.
And is it context? Is it like gym? Is it like, what's just...
On my way. What was I listening to? Shaking that ass on the floor. Pumping and grinding that pole. Mm. The way she's moving that pole. I think I'm losing control. Shake that ass for me.
We're gonna lose our talk radio license.
Sorry.
Your musicality is too good that it's too on the nose.
Oh, definitely royalties being paid out.
Yeah, exactly.
For the amount that was
excited.
Cost us thousands of pounds in PRS.
You paid Ludacris right now.
Yeah. So, sorry, Kieran. I'm so sorry. I got into it.
Ludacris, Eminem, round out the top three.
Oh, God. Can I put Justina Valentine as three?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a rapper, but you can have her.
She is a rapper. She's the best freestyler in the world, bar none. Then I'm going to... Childish Gambino, probably four. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to put... Fuck. Who am I closing out my top five with? Who would you close up your top five with?
Maybe a Kendrick?
Yeah.
Like a Kendrick.
Pretty iconic. He's performing tonight. At the Tottenham Stadium.
I thought you were about to say
with SZA.
I was saying he's coming.
It's Kendrick Lamar to see you at the show. That would be amazing. That would be cool. But no, sadly not.
I've got too excited now. I'm going to calm down.
That's all right. Yes. Nice. Hello, Michael. That's welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So were you struck? We were just talking about the severe delays on the Piccadilly line.
Yes.
I'm so sorry, but thank you for soldiering
on.
Were
you responsible?
Yes. Yeah. I called in a threat. It was my bad. I shouldn't have done it.
It was a nice prank.
Yeah, it's a little prank. I thought make Michael fight. 5 minutes late. Yeah, thank you for coming in. We were gigging very recently in Froome.
Yeah.
I had to leave before yourself. I didn't have to, but
it's good. I do well in front of the old whites.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of old white. They seem to resonate with me. I got that look of like he's one of the good ones. So they seem to.
Well, you've got a very sort of like boyish, like charming smile.
Boyish charm. Yeah. I've always had that. So I do good there. What's your favourite kind of audience to perform in front of?
Oh, goodness. I think, like, just slightly upper middle class, where they're, like, they're not so snooty, but they're willing to laugh at themselves.
Mm.
And then I can sort of, like, a bit rural, but not, like, disconnected. Oh, wow. And I can sort of go in and be like, oh, I don't know if homosexuality has reached here. I don't want to ask if you have a pride, because once an old woman said, oh, no, we don't have a pride, but we have an in bloom. You know, sort of making
that's
fun
great
of...
great stuff. Yeah. And that's some good stuff there.
Thank you. And they like to be poked fun at, and I can sort of sit in it a bit more.
Yeah.
I like that. What about you, Amelia?
I was spoiled last year when I had loads of Americans come in, and I was like, yes, this forever, please.
You've got a real hype energy.
You like an American.
They are so like...
They give a lot, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's what you want, yeah.
Americans.
Now, Amelia's doing her debut this year with Forget Me Not.
Wow, going to Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were saying... Oh, yeah.
Good, stressed, excited, nervous, lucky, and scared.
That's a good mix.
Yeah.
You're going to have a good one.
Yeah,
That's a nice jambalaya of emotions.
Jambalaya. Oh, my God. We should just use jambalaya to mean a concoction more often.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. We were saying that you had a fantastic debut with hashtag Black Bears Matter.
2019, yeah. I went up in 2019 a long time ago.
Nominated for the Edinburgh Award, won the Leicester Award. What tips would you give for
a newcomer?
What tips would I give? I'd just say pace yourself. You know, I think some people just try and, like... They go in super excited, just like take it show by show. It's all real basic advice. And what else would I say? Don't compare.
Okay,
try not to compare yourself to anybody else's, because there's so much stuff going on. All you can do is focus on.
What do you think made your show so good that it got nominated?
What would I say? Industry plant. Just be it. I think that helps sort of paying off people.
Yeah.
I think I just really try to just focus on getting my personality out in the writing. Do you know what I mean? I think because you're introducing yourself to people for the first time. So you're just trying to really make sure in your jokes, it's like, obviously you want to be as funny as possible, but just kind of like make sure I'm telling them about me and want them to get to know more. And I think that always helps when you're doing your debut, when you're doing any show especially, but I think with your debut.
Oh, 100%. This is me, I'm here, and you're going to want to see more from me. So I think that's it's your calling card, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if I haven't done that, it's a bit late now. I leave on Saturday. Yeah, yeah. So
doing a shoot all about Ludacris.
Yeah, so that's show number
get
two.
Get to know Ludacris.
Just I'd
see that though.
I would love to see a sort of Ludacris biographical musical sort of thing. Maybe you should do that. I'm so conscious because time. No, don't you worry. I just didn't want to start you off on another Ludacris song.
And I would have done.
Yeah. Towards the end. I'm so sorry that this has been so quick. You've apologies for your delays. Thank you for coming in. Is there anything you'd like to plug, Michael? Or you can follow Michael at Michael Oduwale Comedy.
Follow me, Michael Oduwale Comedy. Got some jokes coming. You know, social media stuff like that. But yeah. Yeah. That's just me for now. I'm not going to the fringe.
No, but there's stuff in the pipeline. Michael's one of my favourite comedians. Please do go check him out.
Thank you.
Go check out Amelia debuting at the Attic at Pleasance Courtyard 9:45 p.m. every single day. As we've said, lots of people say she's funny, including myself. So go along. You can follow this show at Pulse_Nation. Next week we'll be back with Jane Edwards and host of Naked Attraction, Anna Richardson. But that is all for next time. See you then.
Foo Bar Radio.